This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Human cytomegalovirus. It's found throughout the world and in all socioeconomic groups. And it infects between 60 and 70% of adults in industrialized countries and almost 100% in emerging countries. While in most healthy adults, it's asymptomatic. It is not benign, however, and it can contribute to many more severe disease states. We'll hear with more on this as Dr. Gary Chan. He's assistant professor of microbiology and immunology at Upstate Medical University, and he's just received a sizable grant to continue his studies in human cytomegalovirus, or HCMV. Welcome, Dr. Chan. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So you've just gotten a great deal of money, a sizable amount of money, to continue your work in HCMV. Tell me about that.
We just received a grant from NIH, or the National Institute of Health, which is our major funding agency. And they gave me about $500,000 so far to continue my studies.
$500,000.
Yeah.
I would say that's sizable. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely agree. So
they must think you're on to something.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and they're really, times are tough right now. They're trying to support young people like me. Right, in our future endeavors. So
yeah, but because times are tough, one would think they would not be supporting someone who was, you know, a slacker.
Yeah,
obviously,
that's obviously true.
You're onto something. So help us understand what you're trying to do. What, first of all, maybe help us understand a little bit more about human cytomegalovirus. What is it?
Oh, CMV is it's a herpes virus, right? It's found in all of us. Like most of us have heard about herpes simplex virus. It infects us, and it goes essentially dormant inside of us.
So people, for example, if they get a cold sore or something like that, is that a sign of it?
Very, very similar, right. HSV, or simplex virus, you know, resides in our body in our neurons, which gives us a cold sore. CMV resides in the bone marrow of our body, right? And so it lies dormant in our bone marrow. And when it reactivates, it can cause a lot of diseases, right?
So let me get this straight. And as I said in the beginning, between 60 and 70% of people in industrialized countries have it sitting in their bones, so to speak, sleeping, as you say, dormant?
Yeah, it's sleeping, essentially. And every once in a while, it'll wake back up, is what happens.
And what happens when it wakes back up?
Usually our body controls it, right? So, well, an interesting fact about CMV is about, you know, at my age, about 10% of our immune system is dedicated to make it stay asleep. And then about, by the time you reach about 80, about 80% of our immunology or immune cells are dedicated to controlling this virus. So it takes a lot of effort, right, for us to control it, because it can cause a lot of diseases if we don't control it.
Why is that? Tell us, what does it do?
It's a unique virus. You know, what we study is we study how this virus spreads around the body. And it's as part of its ability to spread around the body, it utilizes monocytes, which are essentially cells that are designed to normally protect us, right? It actually hijacks them.
And so it hitches a ride.
Right. It usually the monocyte acts like a Trojan horse, right? So it hides in these Trojan horses and gets around the body. So it's actually using our own immune cells against us. And then what happens is it's most viruses tend to want to stop inflammation. You know, everyone knows chronic inflammation is bad for you. And so what happens with this virus, it actually enhances inflammation in us because it actually uses it to replicate or to grow in our bodies.
Oh, that's very interesting. So let me see if I can understand what you're saying is the virus actually creates inflammation or uses inflammation.
Right.
To maintain its own life, so
right.
to speak,
its
to survive.
Self. Right, exactly. Whereas inflammation usually is usually against antiviral, right? CMV uses it actually and manipulates it.
Wow.
Right, and controls it.
This sounds like a very nefarious virus.
It is.
Evil virus.
Yeah. The thing about these viruses, they're interesting. It's herpes viruses. They evolved with us, right?
They have evolved with us.
Yeah, okay. They aren't new viruses. They track these viruses to the dawn of dinosaurs, and they were here when we were here. And so we've co-evolved with them for a long, long time.
But obviously they haven't taken over.
And no.
Otherwise we wouldn't still be here.
Right, no. And their goal isn't to take over. Their goal is just to survive with us.
But you mentioned a myriad of diseases that they could be responsible for.
Right.
Help us understand what those are.
So, in terms of symptoms of people with a full immune complement in their bodies, usually it doesn't do much. But what they have found is that it is linked to heart disease, arteriosclerosis, inflammatory bowel disease. And most interesting, about 5 years ago, they found it in 100% of glioblastomas. So it's found in all brain tumors, essentially what it is. And the interesting thing about it, I don't think it's a cause of brain tumors, but it's definitely part of the cause, or it wouldn't be there. And there are now new treatments out there. They're giving antivirals to glioblastoma patients, and they are extending their lifespan.
Wow. Right. So it's playing a role.
It's playing a role.
In many diseases, and not just in the people who are immunosuppressed.
Yeah.
Because obviously where they have a poor immune system, they're going to be more at risk for these for the virus to spread.
Right, right. And so in terms of the biggest problem for this virus is that it causes a lot of disease in the immunosuppressed people, right? As I mentioned before, if 10
to... So HIV, AIDS patients, things like that.
Right.
Or so, cancer, people on cancer therapy.
Right, or transplants, or especially congenital infection. That's probably the most famous disease the CMV causes, are congenital diseases. Although there's a real lack of awareness about CMV and congenital disease.
Give me an example of a congenital disease that it's a part of.
Well, CMV is actually the most common or the most common infection, congenital infection in the world. And it actually, in fact, is the most common cause of long-term disabilities in children. And so many of the children are blind, deaf, stillborn. Many of them have neurological,
So they're born with the CMV in their bodies, and why does it wreak havoc in their particular bodies?
Because it causes massive inflammation, right? And so it really wreaks havoc actually during the development. So when they get infected in utero or during the pregnancy.
Well, tell us, first of all, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on air. I'm Linda Cohen here with microbiologist Dr. Gary Chan. We're talking about human cytomegalovirus and his efforts to better understand it. Tell me what you're trying to do in your study.
All right. So in terms of what NIH is funding me for, is what we're interested is, I think I mentioned before that the CMV uses monocytes as a Trojan horse. And what we're trying to understand is how CMV manipulates the monocyte cell biology to allow it to act as a Trojan horse. Because normally it is designed to get rid of viruses, monocytes.
So it hijacks, as you said.
Right, right. And one interesting fact about monocytes is that typically they have a very short lifespan, right? We don't want long-lived monocytes to wreak havoc on our bodies. But they go out, they probe, right? And they probe our body, see if there's an infection, and then go after that. If not, they die quickly, right? And CMV is able to reprogram the monocyte and allow them to have a long lifespan, which is not good for our bodies, right? But it is able to extend their lifespan and allow them to really act as a Trojan horse, right? And deliver the virus to different parts of the body.
So you're going to try to understand how it is that the CMV can make the monocytes do this.
Right, right. Basically how it causes them to survive.
And this is all done in the laboratory. Do you use animal models at all?
The thing about CMV that makes it somewhat difficult to study is that there's high species specificity. So in other words, human cytomegalovirus cannot infect any animals. And mouse CMV cannot infect humans. And in fact, human cytomegalovirus can't even infect monkeys or primates.
So is CMV, the cytomegalovirus, existing obviously in all of these different species?
Yeah.
Is it really pretty much pandemic? I mean, is it everywhere?
Yeah, it's everywhere.
But it's species specific.
Right. And so it can't cross species. And so
how does that make it difficult for you? So you really would have to study the human in living tissue?
Right. And so what we usually do is we isolate monocytes from humans, right? Or from my grad students, essentially.
How do you do that?
So
sounds kind of scary.
We draw blood. Right. After we draw blood, we isolate the monocytes and then we infect them. Right. Sometimes we can get naturally infected monocytes from transplant patients, right? Where it's a big problem. But usually we take it, we study it, we infect them, and then we try to study how, in fact, CMV is promoting the survival of these cells.
So you're basically looking at blood and you're looking at the CMV in vitro. Is that how
in vitro. Yeah. It's all in tissue culture, right? Mm-hmm. It's the only way we can do it right now. Mm-hmm. Upstate is in a unique position in that they have a pretty unique humanized mouse model system or facility. And so hopefully maybe in the future we'll go along that path and that we'll try to humanize a mouse and try to study.
Humanize a mouse.
Humanize a mouse.
That's a very interesting concept. I'm trying to like envision it. So will it look like Mickey?
No. So essentially we give it a human immune system.
Right.
Right. I mean, there's lots of problems to that, but it's the best we've got right now.
Yeah.
Right. And so maybe in the future we can do that and try to study in vivo.
I do know that some other researchers we've spoken to are using mouse models to study different aspects of cancer, for example, because I guess they can, something about the mouse is in some way close to the human in some of its biologic responses. But in this case, obviously, the CMV is not translatable.
The CMV, human cell cannot affect any of the mouse monocytes.
So how did you get interested in studying HCMV?
Honestly, I kind of fell into it. I always had an interest in virology. You know, fortunately, my father back in the day had a heart attack, which gave him a blood transfusion, right, in which he ended up with hepatitis. And that kind of led to my interest in viruses. And at that point, I went to grad school. You know, I tried to study some different viruses. And this one, I just kind of latched onto. Right, I found it really interesting in that it co-evolved with us. Right. And for that reason, you know, it was a really complex interaction between it and the human host, right, which I was interested in. I actually studied in during pregnancy, was my graduate school days, and I've just stuck with this ever since. And 15 years later, here I am.
Wow. Well, it sounds like you're on some track here. It sounds like on a good track. How do you foresee what's going to happen as a result of this study? Do you see this as a step in future studies?
Yeah. So what we're trying to do is understand really how CMV uniquely regulates monocyte cell biology. And from understanding how there's this unique regulation, we can target those unique interactions with antiviral drugs. And that's what my lab is doing actually right now, is using novel antivirals to target this, the unique biology that CMV is changing in the monocyte.
So the basic concept here underlying all of this does have some clinical application.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking to eventually develop antivirals to affect, or would it basically eliminate CMV from the body?
Right. Well, I don't think we can ever do that.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's co-evolved with us. But at the same time, in transplant patients is where we can really help, because we can predict these infections.
Right? And perhaps control them. Well, it's very, very interesting work. And obviously, the NIH thinks it's very valuable work. So I want to thank you so much for coming in and sharing it with us. I hope you'll come back maybe when you have some things to report in your work.
Absolutely.
And tell us how it's going. That would be wonderful. My guest has been Dr. Gary Chan. He's assistant professor of microbiology and immunology at Upstate Medical University. Once again, thanks for coming in. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.